Welcome back to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Glad to see you here today. We are going to continue on our series, and right now we're talking about taking every thought captive. But before we get to our message, I want to encourage you to go to my website, PastorVicsNuggets.com, where you'll be able to get free downloads of videos, audios, as well as documents, for your personal study, as well as for preparation. Now, we're also on YouTube, Pastor Vic's Nuggets. We're also on Facebook, Pastor Vic's Nuggets again. And so I just encourage you to check us out on those other formats. Now, for today, we want to look at the situation that we find ourselves in the world today. Now, the Bible says that we will experience wars and famines and pestilence in this life. And what we're experiencing now with the COVID-19 virus or the coronavirus is simply a part of the fallen nature of this world. And in this case, it has affected the entire earth. So many will ask the question, is this the beginning of the end? And I think the quick answer is no, it is not. The truth is that we live in a fallen world as a result of sin. The world as we know it is broken. And the good news is that God is in the business of redeeming us out of this world system. Remember, Jesus said that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. That means that we are pilgrims or sojourners in this world. We're passing through. Our true home is the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are ambassadors of Christ, representing Jesus to a fallen, broken world. Now, in previous messages, we've established that we are sons and daughters and ambassadors of God, and that we understand that our relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, entitles us to live in a state of hope, not a desperate, fear-laden hope as in, I sure hope it'll work out, but a confidence assurance in hope. In other words, we're trusting and our faith that God is in control. He knows my situation. He knows your situation. And he is for me. He's for us. He's not against us. Now, all of these statements that I've just made are supported by scripture verses, which is the word of God. And we know the scriptures don't lie because God does not lie. Now, the COVID-19 or the coronavirus pandemic has caught the attention of every person in every nation of the world. Now, it's fitting to look at what the word of God says about this sickness and what our response should be as Christians. And that's what I want to focus on, our response. Our response is to fear not. Look at what the following scriptures say about the term fear not. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. That's powerful news. That's God speaking to you. Picture yourself in his hand. In Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord your God, will hold you. I will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. And then Isaiah 43:1. Now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who has formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Oh, what a powerful verse that is. You belong to Jesus. And then in John 12:15, the scripture says, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. And that's the Palm Sunday passage. As believers in Jesus Christ, our response should be to fear not. But I would agree that it's a lot easier to say fear not than to live fearlessly. Now, God has something to say about fear. These three emotions that so commonly affect us as human beings. And the first one, of course, is the word worry. And that word worry means to feel uneasy or concerned about something, to be troubled. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34 speaks to this very issue. And the part that I want to bring to your attention is the verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things that we tend to be worried about will be taken care of. The second word that we want to look at is the word anxiety. And the word anxiety is, it means to be uneasy, to be apprehensive about an uncertain event or a matter. But we know that Philippians 4:6-9 says that we're to be anxious for nothing. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of fear itself. That feeling of agitation or anxiety caused by the presence of or the coming of danger. And sometimes that danger is real. And sometimes it's just something that we think. We think is, and it becomes magnified. But 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So whether it's worry, anxiety, or fear, you need to understand that they are not of God, especially when they prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. Now, fear is natural to the human condition, but God has given us someone who is able to help us overcome our fears, the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And that's why we're encouraged to stir up the gift. Now, I want you to recognize that word gift. It doesn't say gifts, plural. It says stir up the gift, one, that's singular. And of course, that singular gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're to stir it up daily. Stirring up the gift of the Holy Spirit means that we are operating in the anointing or the outworking of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling the purpose and plan of God for our lives. This occurs in everyday life, not on special occasions, but every day. Opportunities are always arising to pray for and to pray with individuals and to do the works of God in Christian charity. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46 explains this. Now, when the anointing of God is operating in our lives, we develop a closeness to God which builds our faith that he is in control. Fear, on the other hand, generally implies that you're powerless in the situation. And if you focus your attention on fear, it can't be focused on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You see, the more actively you involve the Holy Spirit in your daily life, the more assurance that you have in his ability to care for you. Your testimony. Now, I'm not simply talking about how you were born again, but your testimony is declaring what God is doing in your life every day. God is at work in your life. And when you testify, when you share that with others, it builds faith and confidence in him. And it's for this reason that we're encouraged not to be fearful. Being fearful forces us to pull back. See, there's a power in testifying of God's provision that produces trust over worry, peace over anxiety, and courage over fear. Now, make no mistake about it, fear is part of the natural condition that mankind finds themselves in. When fear arises, there's a reaction that takes place inside of us. You know, science calls it the fight or flight reflex. That means when we're fearful, we want to either run from the situation or we want to resist this situation. However, some people, instead of running or fighting, become paralyzed and do nothing. And as Christians, we've not been given the spirit of fear, which leads to paralysis. Now, there are two sides to fear. There's the actual fear that's rational. You see it before you. It's like someone standing there with a gun. You have every reason to be afraid. But there's also an irrational fear. And that's where there's a fear that results in magnifying something way out of proportion. It's like having, it's like being afraid of an insect, an ant. And the more we dwell on it, the bigger the ant becomes. But see, that's irrational. But yet we do that in our own lives when we begin to allow our imaginations to take over and blow that fear into something far greater than it could ever be. Now, as an example, remember the early Christians, they were being persecuted in the book of Acts. And then in 8, they were being persecuted by the religious Jews. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." You see, what the enemy meant for evil, and that is creating fear and persecution in the Christians, God turned it for good, causing the gospel to go forth throughout the world. You see, God is able to turn that fear into something powerful for his glory. But if we magnify that fear to unrealistic proportions, what it will do, it leads us to disappointment and discouragement and sometimes even depression. Now, 2 Timothy verse 1, verses 6 through 7, I want to read that to you. And it says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift." Remember, that's singular, gift, not gifts. "The gift of God," that's the Holy Spirit, "which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, that word "stir up," that's something that you have to do. It's like watching, it's like having a fire that has almost gone out and you have to stir up the embers, the ashes, to rekindle the fire. And stirring up the Holy Spirit in our lives is something that we have to do constantly. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit and his anointing. And in the scripture, when it talks about fear, what it's talking about is being timid or fearful or afraid to step forward. But he has given us power. And that's the word, Greek word, remember, dunamis, which is miraculous power, miraculous ability to be a worker of miracles. And love, of course, is agape love that allows us to love unconditionally despite the circumstances we find ourselves in. And of course, a sound mind. That simply means that we have self-control. We have control over our minds. Let me read that scripture again. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Can you see that when these things are operating, fear will just run. And you will be courageous, you'll be bold, you'll be brave. Then Philippians 4:6 talks about anxiety. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And then verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." You see, our minds have to be guarded. We have to put up that barrier against any kind of negative thought or fear-mongering thought. And peace, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. How critical that is. Because when we're peace on the inside, no matter what's going on the outside, we'll be able to hear the voice of God. So the key to overcoming fear as a Christian, we find it in 2 Corinthians 10:3. And this is 2 Corinthians 10, that verse section of scripture deals with the spiritual warfare. But listen to what it says. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not fleshly, "but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." The strongholds, the things that hold your mind strongly. Those fears and situations that maybe you've experienced in the past which are controlling you right now. But it says, "in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here's the most important part of that scripture. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, we have to manage our thought life. We have to be careful about what we allow into our minds. When we sense that we're becoming fearful or we're becoming anxious or we're becoming overly worried, then that's the moment that we have to take control of our minds and begin to replace that with the Word of God. God is for you. He's not against you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you have to take control. You have to learn how to take control. Because if your mind runs in an uncontrolled manner, then it will run to fear, it will run to worry, it will run to anxiety. But all of those things, because of the Holy Spirit in us, we can overcome those things. Now, this is all the time that we have for today, because I promised to keep my messages short. But nevertheless, I want you to meditate on this verse as you face life this week. And it's Psalms 31:24. And it says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And so we're going to continue with this in our next message of taking captivity every thought so that we might allow only those thoughts that are truly centered in Jesus Christ to control our lives. And so I look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you. Have a powerful week. Fear not.